Coming up on TMS, Fat Thursday is here.
Chew that gum, lady.
That's a lot of guacamole.
You gonna use all those condoms?
I hope so. How many raccoon penises do you need?
Call now and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Would you like to go from flabby to fabulous? Then you're ready for the Shake Weight, the revolutionary new way to shape and tone arms that is shaking America by storm.
The Morning Stream. Can you dig it?
Brian Ibbett over there with the shake weights. What's nice? That's cool. Did you have shake weights? Is that what that is?
They're really just weights.
Oh, hold those up again for these people to see these. Look at this. Oh, look at you! Is it because they're handy and you can just grab them and?
Yeah, it's basically again something that's next to my desk if I need to just break into weightlifting in the middle of the day while I'm waiting for something to happen. It's like, all right, pumping. All right,
that's a great idea. I should do
2 pounds. 2 pounds.
I have some 25-pounders I could put over here. Why don't I do that? That's a good idea.
Yeah, just have them here and.
Yeah, whip them out when I need them, and, you know, why not? I could be on a call. I'm always fidgeting with something anyway. Put away the
totally,
spinner.
Totally, exactly.
Pick up the weight. Hey, it's TMS. It's The Morning Stream. It's Scott and Brian. It's Thursday, June 1st, 2017, the first of the month, everybody. It is beautiful, balmy 85 degrees here in Salt Lake City, and my allergies are exploding. So something's
yours
in the air.
Mine both. It's funny. I don't know if it was just all the rain. Have you guys had a lot of rain recently?
We did, like a big bunch of it, and then kind of scattered throughout a couple of weeks there. It was like rain, normal, rain, normal, rain.
Exactly.
Like, and now it's like so bad, and it's making me, what allergies does to me more than sneezy and all that, which I do get, mm-hmm. I get tired. I'm so tired today. Like, when this show's over, I'm seriously, I don't have time for this. I have meetings between now and PM.
Right.
But I think I may go try to sneak 15 minutes in on the couch or something.
You kind of got to. I mean, your body apparently is telling you that you need that enough for you to desire it.
It's an alarm.
I think that's your body saying, please, please give me 15 minutes of just some shut-eye, would you?
Yeah, it's like an alarm. Plus, it's like that thing we do on FilmSack. It's this sound.
Plus, I saw on Twitter that you may have only gotten 4 hours of sleep last night.
Yeah, all I got was 4. Yeah, that's the other probably good reason why I'm sleepy.
Yeah, that might be the other reason.
And I don't have an explanation for this. I just couldn't sleep.
I don't understand why. I was only watching 5 documentaries on HBO on my iPad.
I didn't even do that.
Full brightness.
In fact, I went to bed thinking, it was about 10:30, but you know, it's not that late. And I went to bed going, all right, I'm not going to play any video games. I'm not even going to read my book. I'm not watching TV. I'm not doing anything. I'm just going to slide into bed and go to sleep for once without any kind of, you know, I don't need stimulation here. Let's just go to bed.
Right.
So I go to bed and then I'm up all night. If for no reason, just the slightest sound, rip, I'm up. What's up? What's going on?
Oh,
and then,
geez.
Oh my gosh. And then, okay, so here's the, this isn't the bad part of it, but it's another part that maybe keeps me up a little bit. Got a phone call yesterday from a concerned mom. You know the kid I told you about that's getting picked on at school and stuff?
He's
out of school now, but they, for various reasons I don't have to get into, are trying to keep an eye on him during the day. Mm-hmm. And so she had her arrangements fall through. She's a working mom, had to go work today. And last night called and was very nicely, but you could tell she was very loath to do it. She asked if it were possible if he could come hang out here today. Mm-hmm. And I said, that is totally fine. He can come be here. It's a safe place. Kim's here for most of the day. She's gone for this graduation thing for a neighbor later. But by then, his mom should pick him up. And so that was all fine and good. I think he's a cool kid, and I think he'd, you know, I'm here to help. As Jaina Proudmoore would say in Heroes of the Storm, I'm here to help, she'd say.
Okay.
So he comes over, and we didn't know this, but he was going to come at 6 o'clock in the morning. That's the part we didn't
know. Oh, wow. We didn't know this.
Yeah. Did not know that part.
Visualizing how you discovered this information.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it began with a doorbell.
Yep, went like this. Bing bong. Or no, ear, because that's what we have. I hate that thing. So we go get him, bring him in, and the first thing he says to me, now I understand, again, I'm trying to dance around this a little bit, but we've got a case of some pretty severe autism here. Okay.
Okay.
And by severe, I mean the social stuff is really kind of busted. And
sure.
The first thing he does, he walks in the house at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm all bleary eyed in a hat and a pair of shorts. Mm-hmm. Is he's got a big box in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, "I brought Talisman." That's what he says to me.
Talisman? All yeah. Right.
And it's a board game, I guess.
Oh, okay.
I'd heard of it. It's a popular one, I guess. But I've never played it myself. And he holds it up to me and shows it to me. And I go, "Oh, okay, that's cool. Have you had breakfast or anything?" "Nope." "All right, well, come on in, and I'll make you a bowl of something." "I don't like milk." "Okay, well, we could do whatever you need." So he sits down. He has some cereal. We talk for a little bit, and he says,
"How do you feel about weird eggs?"
He says, "Do you want to play with me?" I said, "I'd love to, but I kind of have to work, especially this morning. I have to get a show ready, and then I have to do the show." And I was explaining him what I do, and he goes, "That's okay." I go, "Why?" He goes, "Because I figured out how to make it a solo game." I go, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah, normally it's like six people, but I figured out how to mess with it so I could play it all by myself as much as I need."
Wow.
He says, "It's a lot easier with only me." I said, "Okay, cool. Well, let's get you set up." So I set him up downstairs, and here's the beauty of it. Yeah. Nephew comes over with Sarah, just happened to be here. No plan to be here. And he is a younger, but, you know, cool kid, growing up, trying to be a magician. First thing he says to me is, Uncle Scott, I got a card trick to show you." I said, "Okay, come here. Show me what you got." This is about seven.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes over and he goes, "Okay, here goes. Pick a card." And I picked a card and he goes, "Okay." And I watch him very gingerly put it back in the deck. And he's kind of moving these cards around. And he goes, "Okay, now I'm pulling a card out and I'm going to hand it to you. And you tell me, is that your card?" And it wasn't my card. He hands it to me. It's a four of hearts. What I pulled originally was a seven of hearts. I said, "Nope." He goes, "What?" I go, "No, that's not my card." "Yes, it is." I go, "No, I promise it's not." He goes, "Well, what is it?" I said, "It's a four of hearts." "Well, what did you pick?" I said, "A seven of hearts." "Hold on a second." And he just kind of slinks away from me and starts shuffling cards in and out. Like, so anyways, one of those really funny kind of like kid.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like one of those things where, I know, if you look in your pocket, you'll find another seven of hearts or something like
so
that.
So did I. So when I realized it just didn't work, I felt kind of bad. So he's over there kind of frustrated. And I said, "Hey."
What you should have said is, "Oh, wait, no, now that I think about it, it was a four of hearts."
Exactly. So I thought, you know what? Since you're down, a little down and out about your card game, do you want to play a game called Talisman with a kid downstairs you don't know? I mean, honestly, it was just like a total stranger to him.
Yeah.
He goes,
yeah.
"Sure." And I thought, this could be interesting because on the one hand, you have no social boundaries. And on the other hand, you have just kind of a average 10-year-old wacko kid nephew. Who wants to set things on fire and, you know, burn bugs and things like that. So they've got these two personalities. And I thought, this may not go well. So I said, "Kim, keep an eye on it. I got to go do a show. Just keep your eye on it." They are happy as pigs in poo down there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Playing
wow,
that game.
Perfect.
Cards everywhere. Stacks of it. They're reading rules to each other. Like, sometimes you just hit it, man.
Wow.
So, anyway. Better than
it's a perfect roll of the dice right there.
Yeah, better
that's
than
great.
It could have been. So allergies, fine, whatever. Tired, what I can deal with it. Happy yeah. kids, that made it all better. So there's
that's
that.
Great. Yeah, because I was going to suggest, you know, maybe you go get a like a plastic model kit or one of those little bend the metal to make a little TIE fighter kind of things. And,
oh, that's a great idea actually. But yeah,
do that with them. But
yeah. Yeah, they seem to be happy. I even said, I go, "Guys, I can hook Mario Kart up. You guys be playing Mario Kart." "No, we're okay. We're just playing this board game." And then I walk past the next time and it goes, "And if you have three of the points for the thing, then your wizard gets to poop twice and run hard or whatever."
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
great.
So cool.
And they're not even paying attention to me. So big pressure off today. I thought I was going to have to entertain and, you know, sort of balance this and manage it. And it's not so bad.
Mm, perfect.
Anyway, so here's the bad news. Yesterday. Okay. I'm mm-hmm. being vigilant about tracking my food intake. I got this this Fitbit Charge 2 on my wrist. I've been wearing it and being mm-hmm. more sort of religious about it. Got my app and it's tracking my activity, my workouts, my food.
What app are you using, by the way?
I'm just using the Fitbit one.
Oh, okay.
It's got a great gotcha. Syncing thing and it tracks everything from calories and exercise and water and sleep patterns. So I wear it at night for sleep stuff and all that.
Cool.
It's been really good. It works with other apps as well, of course. It's got some interoperability, but so far this seems to be just as much as I need. And it's June 1st, which means time to weigh in. Mm-hmm. Now, I would lie to you if I said that May was a good month for me.
Oh, no.
May was not a good month for me. I knew it wasn't. As I was working my way through May, I knew I was making poor decisions. I just knew
it. Yeah, sure.
And since November, again, I can't imagine what happened in November that may have had me turn to food as a way of dealing with stress. I just can't. But November, in November, I was at my lowest, or my perfect weight, where I wanted to be, which was 200 pounds. That for 6'4" guy, that's where I want to be. When you guys saw me at Nerdtacular 2015, I was a little bit lower than that, but pretty much right in there. And it's right where I wanted to be. I haven't weighed since probably March. And back then it was like 220. I'm like, oh boy, I should be careful here. And then I've kind of avoided it. I've kind of like said, if I don't look, it's not there kind of thing. Like
right. Oh, yeah. No, that never works.
Nope. So today, June 1st, I'm like, I'm going in there. I'm going to weigh myself, trying to have a good attitude. Those kids down there, they're happy. Kim's in the kitchen. We're, both talking about a big healthy month ahead of us. And I get on the scale. I am back to my highest weight ever, which was in 2013.
Oh, no.
Of 247 pounds.
Oh, dude.
Now, Kim's surprised. She's like, you don't look like it. And I say, that's the problem with being tall. 6'4" means it spreads out and it's all the places, then my toes and then weird little extremities and things.
My toes are fat.
My fat toes. So I said, that's it. I'm done. This sucks. I mean, I'm not going to lose it all in 30 days before Nerdtacular, clearly.
No, that would be unhealthy if you did.
Yeah, that would. If that happened, see you guys in the hospital. Come visit me. Right,
right, exactly.
But, I'm back to this thing where I'm not doing this anymore. So you're looking at the new me, everybody. And I'm saying this out loud on the show because it gives me extra motivation where I've said out loud to somebody, I'm taking it back.
Yeah.
No longer will a human sack of Cheetos determine how much crap I eat or don't eat. I am going to eat nothing but fruit and veggies today.
You're not getting any more bigly at this point.
No bigly. All smally at this point. I want to get back to my fighting weight. I want to be at the gym every other day at the least, every day if I can. I want to lift. I want to run. I want to do. It's just, I'm tired of it. So no more fat guy Johnson. Ugh, I was so proud of myself.
You'll get back there.
A year ago.
You'll totally get back there.
A year ago, I was so proud of myself. You know when I was most proud was when Mad Max Fury Road was in theaters. So I'm looking at you, Valerian and the Blade Runner 2. You are my motivation. You need
Spider-Man
to be good.
Homecoming.
Yeah. Or Wonder Woman this week, which, by the way, people are losing their minds over and saying it's awesome.
I know. I'm hearing great things. Yeah. I wish we would have bought that in the draft.
Let's see what we got here.
Here's what we got to do. Let's tie this to something. So how about for any day that you avoid excessive fats or starches or dairy or whatever, you get to post an anti-Trump tweet.
Oh, hey, that's not a bad little thing. It's a nice, like a nice little
reward. It's the carrot at the end of the stick for you.
It's like an Oreo a day or something like that.
Right, exactly.
All right, I like that a lot. By the way, 92% on Rotten Tomatoes going into the weekend. That's pretty strong. 99%.
Who has that one? Is that Tom? Does Tom have...
I don't
know. Let me see here.
See if you can look that up.
I'm pulling it up right now. Wonder Woman! And all the things that you can do.
Let's see. Even in its
He has DTNS has Captain Underpants and Wonder Woman, both big superhero films coming out this weekend.
Wow.
And then he's got nothing until Atomic Blonde, but he's got Atomic Blonde.
Yeah, he does have Atomic Blonde. And what that means is none of the rest of us do, so we're all screwed.
Right. Snatched and Alien Covenant are keeping us in a solid third place, and this after this weekend. Will still be in third place because DTNS is in second and nobody else is moving.
The review that heartens me for Wonder Woman is this one. I'd like to read just a portion of it, an excerpt, if you will. Wonder Woman is grandly entertaining, offering up a hero whose sincerity reveals a sense of decency and self-sacrifice that our modern world could learn a little from. That tells me they're getting the character right, because part of the problem they've had with the Superman there is they got him wrong. In the Man of Steel and the Superman versus the Batman, they got they got Superman wrong. He's just wrong. And I'm not saying the actor, Henry Cavill, great. Love that guy. He's built for it. Looks, has the look. He can act. All that stuff is great. He's not the problem. It's the way you're writing him that is the problem. You don't have Superman down. But if you've got Wonder Woman down, you're giving me hope. Because this is what she is. There's a goodness to her. There is a rightness to her. That's why millions of girls have looked up to her for years and years. And millions of boys have looked up to her, too, if you know what I'm saying. But I remember, like, in the 70s, Brian, when we were little kids, we loved the Wonder Woman show.
Yeah, Linda Carter was great.
But I now understand why my dad and people of his age liked Wonder Woman. Because she was skimpily clad in that show.
Yeah, she was. Yeah.
This one looks like it's a little more focused on less like, I mean, she's a very beautiful woman, but that's not the focus here.
But she's not wearing a bikini.
No, she's not. She's got a cool headband deal. She's got a little lasso unit. And
no invisible jet either, right? Like no mention of Gal Gadot.
Is it Gadot?
I think it's
Godot.
God dang it. I remember finding this out definitively and then promptly forgetting what it was.
Okay, let's find out. We've got a pronunciation video. You ready?
Godot. I think it's Gal Gadot.
I think so too. I think you're right. According to the 9-second video on YouTube,
Gal Gadot.
No, that's that guy. It's that guy again.
I love that guy.
Gal Gadot. All right, here's a real one. I found a real one. Let's play this one. Okay, this one says...
Gal Gadot.
It is Dot, man.
It is. She's Gal Gadot, is what she is.
Gadgelado. That guy's great.
He is great. I love those.
Anyway, let us know, chat room and people listening, what you thought of the movie when you've seen it, and we'll talk about it on the other end. All right, we have a TMS Film Fest winner.
We do.
And a for, June announcement. May. Yeah, for May, right? But you also have a June idea, and I can't wait to hear it. But I guess we should award this person. So who won?
Yes.
How'd it go?
So had a lot of great responses. Again, the theme was easy. You had to just show us something easy. And winner is Daniel Teller with his contribution, the easy remote control. I guess it's almost like Click. If Click were turned into a TMS short form video.
All right.
This guy had me at the 45 second mark. Like basically I think his clip was maybe a minute 30. He could have stopped at 45 seconds and it still would have been a perfect entry.
Oh my gosh. That's great. That's high praise.
It is high praise. Okay. So congratulations to Daniel Teller. I'll be sending you a prize. Containing a bunch of fun stuff.
Great. Congratulations and well done. Who, or what, rather, is our contest for June?
Well, I don't know if you know this, Scott, but coming up at the end of June,
we've
got Nerdtacular. There's this event, right, where we're going to be having a lot of panels and things like that going on, a live film sack, a live TMS, some dumb trivia, whatever thing. I don't know anything about that, but a concert. And probably between all those times, as people are filing into the hall and coming out and all that stuff, we might be able to have that big screen up there going, and we might be able to show some TMS Film Fest entries. Mm-hmm. So here's my idea for TMS Film Fest for June. Here it is. You've got 30 seconds and the Nerdtacular audience.
Oh,
what
my
do you
Lord.
Do? What do you do?
Ooh.
Hot shot.
Ooh. So wait, do we play the potential winners at the show and have
I think
them
we,
vote?
We watch them all and we vet. We make sure that somebody's not saying, "Hey, everybody, here's my winner." You know, something like that.
Welcome to Penis Time. I'm Penis Man. Here's my penis. Yeah.
We vet them. Yeah. But we're going to play, not just the what we determine as the winning entry, but I think, top five or six.
Sure. Yeah, why not? I like this idea a lot. This is pretty good. We have the capability, so us doing this is no big deal. All right, that means that their deadline has to be what? Like,
I'd say the 23rd would be ideal.
I agree.
So a week before Nerdtacular actually starts.
That's a good amount of time for us to squeeze that out and figure it out.
Yeah.
All right, there you go then. So, cool. And again, give me the theme, the overall theme name again so people can remember.
Sure. You've got 30 seconds in the Nerdtacular audience, hotshot.
That's
what
it.
What do you do?
Yeah, it can, so really it's wide open, guys.
It is. You can do whatever you want. Be entertaining. Be bold. Be entertaining. Be great.
Entertain us. Are you not entertained?
That's right.
Trivia. Here's a quick trivia. Are you not entertained? What movie?
That'd be Gladiator,
well
Scott.
Well done. Bing, 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 bing. Brian wins. I can see why you like it.
I can definitely see why you like it.
All right. Well done.
one last quick thing about Nerdtacular, and we'll mention this a couple more times leading up to it. But if you're going to be arriving in Salt Lake City on Wednesday, the Wednesday before Nerdtacular, I'll be arriving on Wednesday. Mm. And we're not exactly sure where we're doing this, but information will be forthcoming. But we want to do some sort of meetup. A guy's traveling abroad named San Jay, he wants to organize this, get people together to do something. I think it's a fantastic idea. So go to the Tadpool, Facebook Tadpool group.
Mm-hmm. You can search for it. Pretty easy to find.
Yeah, exactly. Pre-Nerdtacular meetup, something like that. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, number one, you can either post whether you're interested in attending, which of course you are, if you're going to be there the day before anyway, of course you're going to.
Right.
And if you're local to the area, maybe even post some ideas of where we do it. You know, we don't necessarily have to do it up at Snowbird. I don't even know if I'm going to be up at Snowbird on Wednesday night. I might just be in Salt Lake City proper. Maybe we go to that horrible nickel arcade and take over the Terminator 2 machine.
Yeah, because it's all there is to play unless you just want tickets. Or you could do, there's so many cool options.
A lot of great things.
Yeah, and I know there are people, I'll bet Hammond be all over this. Hammond want to do this.
Hammond is actually involved in helping getting this organized as the local, the local guy who is not buried under a mountain of Nerdtacular prep.
Yeah, I ain't prepping any of this meetup, just so everyone knows. I may make an appearance, but there's no way in hell I'm prepping it. And the other thing to mention is this Hammond, Hambone, Hamster, as we call him, he's good at this stuff. He knows what he's up to.
He's really good at this stuff.
Yeah.
Was that? Is there anything by that? You rave about that wing place.
Oh,
Wingtown, Wingville, Wing City,
Wingnuts.
Oh, Wingdingers. No, something like that, though. It's like
Wingnuts. Is that the place?
Is it Wingnuts? Is that the one you really
like? Yeah, I like Wingnuts, all right. I'm trying to think of something that's not...
the place you took me to that's like a little bar.
Oh, yeah, that was Wingnuts, although they changed the name to something else. But now there's still a Wingnuts, though. Actually, the Wingnuts out near me is close. Mm-hmm. There's options.
We can figure something
out.
We're
exactly. Loading. We're going to load. We're putting it all on the backpack owned by Hammond Chamberlain. We're going to make him do it.
Exactly.
Anyway, so that's all coming up. Hey, a reminder. A reminder later today in the show. No Wendy. She's not here. She's at a concert in Stockholm or something.
Oh, wow. Seeing some Norwegian death metal, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm positive that's what it is. And it was kind of last minute. She told me last night. But we want you to be in the Discord anyway, in the call waiting room in there, because we're going to take some calls. We're going to just randomly pull you in and talk to you today. That's Discord or frogpants.com/Discord. If you don't already have it, you can do this on your mobile phone, your desktop, wherever you get Discord. It's all over the damn place. Super easy to get in there and wait for you to be called up and brought into the show. Don't forget to mute the actual show, however you're hearing it, when you pull us in. Or when we pull you in, or something like that.
Right.
All right. Good luck, Sanjay and Hammond. May your preparations go well. Daryl, maybe today? Yeah, we shifted it around a bit. Yeah, because of the holiday this week, we kind of had to change things, but
that's right.
There's no reason why we can't dive right into this. Let's play a little game. Let's push this button to do it. It is Stump Daryl, and it's brought to you by...
Unlabeled is the board game that tests your ability to identify different beers. Designed for all beer drinkers, the game is simple and conversational. My favorite part is that you can play at home or at the bar. Unlabeled is currently crowdfunding on Kickstarter, and you can find them on Google, Facebook, or go to unlabeledgame.com. Grab some beers, gather your friends, and put your taste buds to the test. Unlabeledgame.com.
Nice. Daryl, are you there?
Playing alone is a sign of alcoholism.
Well, I hope so.
Oh, you are here. Hey, it's how are
Hello,
you?
Daryl.
How you doing? Daryl's online. Oh, I don't want to bring this up, though, because then maybe people start tweeting everybody. Never mind. I was going to talk about a thing you're using. Let's just say it's working now. Can we say that?
Oh, it's working now?
Is it working?
No, it's not yet.
Okay.
Yeah. I have things
we're
to try.
We're going to figure it out, yes.
I think that here's the deal. Daryl is using a Bluetooth device for something. And I'm not going to say what it is because we don't want to talk about that side of it. But the reason I think it's not working is I think your natural aura is interfering with Bluetooth devices. So I'll bet if you tried to do any Bluetooth connectivity right now, it wouldn't work because Daryl somehow, you got weird electrical interference around you, Daryl Skills, around your body that is causing this.
Personal interference field. We had that all the time in tech support. Mm-hmm. We would just basically say there are some customers that have a personal interference field.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's true to some degree. I don't mean that there's an actual phenomena where your body is interfering with the data. I just think you're cursed. So yeah. the Daryl curse continues with Bluetooth devices. Oh, speaking of which, thanks to a fan, I don't know if I'm allowed to say his name. Somebody found me some of those AirPods for available. And he picked them up for me. I sent him the cash and he's going to mail them to me. They'll be here this weekend. I'm so excited. Because you can't get them anywhere, Brian. I don't care who you are.
Nope.
Except
nope,
you pre-ordered when you should have, and you got them when you're how you're supposed to. But now I can look stupid, too, in public. I cannot wait.
So it's the best thing. I love mine. I love how easy it is to go from my iPhone during the day when I'm talking to customers down to the iPad at night when I'm watching a movie or TV or whatever. And
yeah,
they are fantastic. I love them.
Yeah, I can't wait. They're highly regarded. People love them. So, and they are selling like crazy. They can't keep them in stock, the damn things. All right. Well, Daryl, it's good to have you here. Let's dive in and pull a friend in from Discord, and they'll, you know, challenge your wits, I suppose. Are you feeling witty today? Do you feel, you know, ready for this sort of thing?
My wits are always challenged.
Right. That's exactly what I was going to suggest. Let's pull in. Let's see. Who do we like here? I know who we like. We like a person named Zender. Zender, can you hear us?
I can hear you guys. How you doing?
Oh, that's lovely.
Zender, hello, Zender.
Zender, everybody. Zender, spelled with an X. Where'd your name come from? It's a cool name.
It's been my character in WoW since, like, vanilla.
What do you play? What's your main?
Blood Elf Mage. I'm actually Zender AIE in the chat, so I'm guilty.
All right, there you go. Nice. Well, congratulations and welcome. How do you feel about the current... this is a very instance question, but I don't want to ask it anyway. How do you feel about the current state of the mage in World of Warcraft?
To be honest with you, I've been playing a lot of Final Fantasy recently. I kind of gave up after the Fire Mage died down a little bit.
Yeah, listen, I'll tell you what. I'm gonna admit something too. Let's just, since we're here and we're expressing ourselves, I've been sleeping with the enemy a little bit. I've been playing Elder Scrolls Online kind of obsessively for the last few nights, and I really like it. So I'm just here to say it's okay, everyone, if you've got a little extra something on the side. You don't have to just be completely... Pretend you're the king. You've got your wife, but there's a few concubines around, too.
Oh, jeez.
You know?
That's an odd place to go.
Only if you're the king, though, see? You have to be the king to do it.
Or president. Whatever.
Or the
president.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all for that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm glad you're enjoying yourself nonetheless, and hopefully mages will find their great glory one day soon. Let's get back to the deal here. We got a contest and we have prizes. Brian will explain it. Brian, how does it work?
Well, Xander, I'm going to be asking Daryl a trivia question here in just a moment, the topic of which is Dungeons and Dragons. Daryl is going to give his answer with a number. It's going to be numerical, like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It is with an E. Okay, I saw in the chat room people saying with an A, so yeah. It's an E.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. If then you're going to tell me whether or not the correct answer is higher or lower than Daryl's guess. If you're correct today, you win the prize package carried over from Tuesday, the James Bond t-shirt and the Last Dragon soundtrack, thanks to Dodd Vickers, as well as Jaina, a card that allows you to unlock Jaina and Heroes of the Storm.
Oh,
I don't know if you're playing that.
She's here to help.
She's here to help. She brought her up even earlier today.
Yeah.
and a Valley of the Kings card game. It's made by Tom Cleaver. Ooh. It's a deck building game of ancient Egypt, and it looks really, really cool.
Nice. By the way, Jaina, yes. My highest level character in Heroes of the Storm.
Oh, really? Yeah, wow.
She's like 38 or 40 something. I forget. She's way up there. Anyway, that sounds like a fine prize package. Daryl, your topic today is what, Brian?
Topic is Dungeons and Dragons.
Dragons.
Dungeons and Dragons. D and D.
Yeah. Prime suspect for Daryl, I think. Did you play Dungeons and Dragons when you were younger? Because you would have been the target at the time.
I played one time and then never again.
Oh, my Lord. Wow. It seems like you should totally play that. It seems like a thing to play. Like
right up your alley.
Well, I always wanted to do crazy, insane things that were always against the rules.
Mm. Yeah.
And they didn't like that.
Can I give just a small thank you to Zender for making this, for the first time since we started using it, he totally figured out what he needed to do to make the Discord thing work totally.
Oh,
so I'm just thrilled. I'm so thrilled with that. I can barely stand it. All right, here we go. Here's your question, Daryl. Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition came out in 2014. This, according to the question, as constructed by Mike Icewarm Boyd. How many classes are there in this 5th edition of the game?
Mm.
And that is the current edition we're on, I believe. 6th not out yet.
Yes, we are currently on 5th.
So again, D&D 5th edition. How many classes in this edition of the game that debuted in 2014? And I'll give you a hint. It is somewhere between 2 and 35.
2 and 35. Hmm. Well, let's see. I was going to guess. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. 2 and 35. Well, that must be quite a few then. More than WoW.
Well, definitely more than one.
Mm-hmm.
No, I said WoW.
Oh, you said one.
Yeah, he said one. Yeah. Or he said WoW.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely more than WoW, I think. That's a hint I shouldn't be giving. I think it is. Actually, I'm not sure. Current state of WoW, that may not be true. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to say 7, so should I still say that?
I don't know.
No, I'll say, it's a higher or lower, so I'll say I'll have to raise it up so that there's more room to be wrong.
All right.
I guess I'll say, 11.
All right, 11 is your answer. Brian, is 11 the correct answer?
11 is incorrect. Zender, is the correct answer higher or lower than 11?
All right. Well, I've got a 5th edition campaign going on right now. And I want to say, I should know this. I want to say lower. I'm going to say lower.
Lower than 11. All right. Let's find out. What was that? That was a cool sound I heard. What was that?
Yeah, it was a little music in the background
there. Yeah, it was like a phone or something. That was cool. All right. Well, let's find out if it is indeed lower than 11. Is it?
Oh, no.
Oh, crap. It's definitely not. But you're so close, you guys. The answer is 12.
I almost said that.
You almost said 12. You almost got 12, which would have been an auto win for Zender as it stands right now because he got it wrong. He does not win. However, he is eligible in what, Brian? 2 weeks? How do we do that? 1 week?
In 2 weeks, yeah. As you don't have to wait the full month to try calling back in.
Yep.
You can wait 2 weeks and try again, and who knows? This prize package may make it that long.
It may. You never know. So well done and goodbye. Also, this means the prize package moves forward. The James Bond shirt, Last Dragon soundtrack, and all that other stuff, Jaina card, blah, 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 moves forward to another winner
like
potentially
Scott Johnson,
next week.
It continues to grow and
needs to go on a diet.
Couple more items getting added next week.
Daryl, you still gym it every day, yeah? Don't you?
Every other day. Yeah.
Are you keeping up with it and it's going good and all that? And you're keeping where you want to be and stuff?
Well, I think it's everybody's goal to gain a ton of weight right before Nerdtacular, and I'm doing that too.
Oh, great. Well, I'm glad that I'm not alone then. Hopefully not so much you'll need an extra chair on the plane. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter.
No.
You can find him there. You can also find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. He'll now play a game with us, probably YouTube-related, I'm thinking. What do you got there for us?
Well, I'm going to read part of a query that I've entered into YouTube. You complete the phrase, win nothing.
All right.
How does your blank?
How does your blank? I assume it's two garden, words.
Like garden grow would be the first thing that comes to mind because it's like the fairy tale or the nursery rhyme.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Mary, Mary, quite contrary. How does your garden grow? I'm going to say garden grow just to.
How does the rest of that
just
go?
Just to throw it out there.
How does the rest of it go? How does your garden grow? And then she answers with little bits of monkey bits and hairy bongy bow. Like, how does it go?
All in a row. It's something like she's names off a couple flowers and something all in a row, but I don't know. I can't remember the second part.
Oh,
of that.
So she doesn't actually tell you how she's growing it. She just tells you what's there.
Right, exactly.
Answer the effing question, I'd say to her.
Yeah, come on, Mary. Well, she is quite contrary.
All right, I'm going to say. So you say, how does your garden grow? I'm going to. Oh, she is very quite contrary. You're right. No. Okay. It fits.
That's the problem, is she's quite contrary, yeah.
All right. How does your brain work? That's mine. How does your brain work? How does your garden grow, Brian says? Who got it right?
Well, last week, we missed last week's answer. It was Chipper. So this week, back to this week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was hoping you would be crazy and think that there's no way it could be garden grow, but it's garden grow.
Oh, Brian.
Wow. What do I win? Oh, I win nothing. You even said that at the very beginning.
That's incredible. Well done. I can see why you like it.
I can definitely see why you like it.
All right. Well done, Brian. He's the big winner. Daryl, have a freaking great day, and we'll talk to you later. Let's dive into the news, shall we? Today's news brought to you by...
This segment is brought to you by Josh Haygood's birthday, or Haygood's birthday, happening on June 11th. That's right, Josh. We're talking about you, Joshua Michael Haygood, or Haygood. Happy birthday from your best friend, Ryan.
Oh, that's so nice.
Who knows how to pronounce your last name.
That's so nice. We always welcome these little personal shout-outs for people if they want to do that on the...
Totally.
On the deal. If that's your choice to do that, then you should do that. That's great. Ryan, what a nice guy. Well done. And happy birthday, Michael. And is it Haygood or Haygood or Hogood? What is it?
I wish I knew. I wish I knew.
Hagrid. You're a wizard,
it's Hagrid.
Harry.
That's obviously it. It's Hagrid, yes.
Yeah. You're a wizard. Yar.
You're a wizard, Harry.
That's his famous line, right? Like, if you had to think of some famous lines from Harry Potter, it's the only one I can think of is, you're a wizard, Harry. That's it.
Yeah, or
not in the face.
Don't you remember that classic Hagrid line?
Yeah, not in the face. Not in the face. Yeah. Or you shot me in the face. That's a good one. Here's your stories for today. We got one about chewing gum until you fart. And this seems dumb, but it's actually got, there's a reason for this. Why you should chew gum until you fart after a C-section. So women, ladies, we're looking at you. Ladies, we heard you.
Ladies, hello.
Among the difficult things a woman has to deal with after a C-section, from tending to her stitches to learning to breastfeed, you know, this, you still breastfeed even if it's a C-section. It's not your.
Well,
not,
yeah, of course.
You're not totally out of the woods yet, you know.
Who's the comedian that had the line? I think I want to say Stephen Wright, so I'm going to say this in the Stephen Wright voice. I was actually born with a C-section. Every time I leave a house, I go out through the window.
Stephen Wright. I don't remember hearing that one. That's a good one.
It may not be a Stephen Wright one, but it was definitely some 80s comedian in front of a brick wall wearing a sports jacket over a black t-shirt.
Would you say it's Stephen Wright esque?
I wouldn't. Damn it. No, I would not.
How's everyone going to drink? Oh, well.
I know. Well, it shouldn't be this early in the morning.
No. You're right. So here's a new recommendation. It's a little easier. They just need to chew gum. A new meta-analysis suggests that chewing gum 3 times a day for 30 minutes each can help bring back a woman's normal gut function after a C-section delivery. You got to remember, they kind of traumatize you. They cut you open. They lift all your guts out and put it over to the side there. And I've seen one of these happen. I've never had, like, my Kim never had a C-section. None of my sisters have. So for me, it's new. So I watched a YouTube video of the process, and it's pretty gnarly. They literally just go shunk and pull out your entire intestinal tract and go boop and set it on the side.
Wow.
Yeah. And then they take the baby out.
I guess that's the way they have to do it. Although I thought, I guess you still have all that stuff in front of it. I just think that the uterus is, once it gets that big, everything kind of goes off to the side anyway.
I think it may be a way of just ensuring you're not stabbing the... you know, keeping that stuff safe or something. But I think the act of moving it around is enough to be sort of traumatic for the body, and the body needs to recover from that. And part of what you need to do that is to get some air through there. So they say chew gum 3 times a day, 30 minutes per day. And according to the meta-analysis published on May 14th in the Journal of Maternal and Fetal Neonatal Medicine, you'll go, and everything will be back to normal.
That's crazy.
So
that is crazy. By the way, if you do need to see some impromptu surgery, watch the most recent episode of The Leftovers. You'll get some some great. You saw it already.
Yeah, the scene in the room where it's on himself. Sorry, I don't want to give anything away, but that thing.
Yeah,
that was something. That was hard to watch.
That was really hard to watch. Anyway.
Yeah. You know what kept me sane there was the thing I just about gave away made it easier because it.
Yeah,
I knew it wasn't possible. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Something about that eased that up. But yeah, I don't. Nobody's hands in my guts, please. I really don't want that to happen. was a weird. What a weird freaking episode that was.
It was a really weird episode, but I love it. I love it as a good bookend to the episode from last season where he first goes there.
Yeah, everything about The Leftovers is brilliant, and every minute further it goes, the less I think they're going to stick this landing. I don't know how they're going to do it.
Right. There's just too much. There's too much stuff that they're setting up. It's like, how are you going to answer all of these questions?
Yeah. We've been here before, Lindelof, and you kind of, you know, for good or for evil, you kind of didn't let us, you didn't give us all the answers last time either. So I don't know, but I really like this show and I'm going to miss you when you're gone, Leftovers. I will miss you. I'm going to miss Chris, Eccleston the most because I think he is amazing in this show.
Oh, he's so good. You know where you can see more of him if you want to.
Doctor
An
Who?
Entire season of Doctor Who.
Yeah, Doctor Whom. He was the Doctor Whom that season.
He was the first kind of new, you know, Doctor Who 2.0.
I'll tell you who's impressing me, and I can't think of the actress's name. Mm-hmm. I can never remember her name. But the
Carrie Coon?
Carrie Coon. The fact that she is playing both... the Fargo lady.
The character
and this,
on Fargo, yeah, right.
Yes. She's killing it. She's so good.
She's brilliant.
She can work forever as far as I'm concerned. She has a weird
Did
neck
you see
thing.
Girl on the Train, by the way?
Girl on the Train, no.
Yeah.
Is she in that?
She is in that, and you'd like that because it's... I'm sorry. Gone Girl.
Oh, Gone Girl. All right. Who's she in? Is she the girl that's gone or a different girl?
No, she's their girl.
Okay.
Still their girl.
Still here.
I want to say she's Ben Affleck's sister, if I remember correctly.
No. Here it is. I'm looking at it real quick. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rosamund Pike is the girl who's gone, right?
She's the actual gone girl, right?
Yeah, Carrie Coon, she's something about her. I don't know what it is, but she's what I need in my lady acting life. I think she's great.
Right.
Anyway, so chew gum and fart. There's that. How about this? How much? Okay, do you remember the rich millennial guy that said you guys eat too much too much avocado toast, and you'll never afford a house?
Right. Yes, I remember the avocado toast guy.
All right. Well, somebody's taken this a little bit further and done the math, and determined how much avocado toast you would have to skip in order to get that new house. All right. So here's the criteria. Something's wrong with my headphones. There we go. If you are under 35, you're a millennial. That's the deal. 35 and younger, that's millennials, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, is it, though? Because if you're 5, are you a millennial? Probably not. What are you if you're 5?
Oh, I can't remember. We looked up the dates on this, the years, and...
Because I think there's something new. They're not stuck in that group. Hold on. Millennial. Yeah.
Well, remember, we also found, like, 8 different descriptions of what those...
Yeah, because we found out that you and I are in the Gen X stuff, and it's like 65 through 85 or something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then there was crossover because some millennials were born in the early 80s. So anyway, let's see. Who are the millennials? Millennials in October 2000 group as those born 82 and forward. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Endpoint is 2004. 82 to 2004.
82 to 2004. Okay.
Okay. So Nick is technically a millennial then. That explains a lot.
Just saying. Right? Yeah.
Just saying. I don't know for sure about that, but, you know, whatever. Anyway, so here's the deal. If you're under 35, you're a millennial. Recent culinary trends suggest that while reading this, you might have had an overpriced latte in one hand and a fancy piece of toast smothered with avocados in the other. Some suggest that you'd rather waste your money on that sort of stuff instead of investments like buying a house. Well, so says conventional grumpy wisdom. Let's find out. Somebody did the actual number here. Mm-hmm. Skip ahead. Okay, I'm going to show the chat room. Oh, this may be... There we go. I'm going to show you this chart.
Okay.
So, how many avocado toast does it take to afford a deposit on a house?
And this is, look at this. It's like a USA Today graph. I love it.
And there are a ton of them.
Right, because it's different cities. So, if you're in Tokyo, for example, you have to eat 11,538 avocado toasts for the equivalent for a deposit on a house.
Correct. If you are in San Francisco, you need to eat, and that's where a lot of avocado toast is made and consumed.
Oh, yeah.
15,975 avocado toasts before you can afford the baseline cost of $718,000, $870 house, a down payment for that.
I swear to God, I really have to find a place that makes, I mean, I could go buy an avocado and make avocado toast myself, but yeah, I've never had avocado toast.
You totally should. It's I've had it. It's great. It's really good. I've had it at a place.
That's the point. If you buy it and make it at home, the numbers don't work, Scott.
No.
That changes everything if you buy your own avocado and bread.
Everything we thought we knew was a lie. But if you,
Mexico City is the best place to save your avocado toast, because you could do it instead of eating 3,123 avocado toasts.
Mm-hmm.
You could get a house, put a deposit on
exactly. But everywhere else is very expensive. Hong Kong being the highest, or one of the highest. London's the worst. 24,500 avocado toast to get a down payment.
Oh wow! And it's not just them, like figuring out the equivalent of avocado toast. They're actually each of these cities shows how much the average price of avocado toast in the restaurant is. Like in Hong Kong, a piece of avocado toast is going to set you back $14.
Oh, geez, Louises.
I would have expected it to be super cheap in Mexico City just because.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, $5.50. Johannesburg apparently is where to buy the avocado toast. $3.50 for avocado toast in Johannesburg.
Yeah. Tokyo. Tokyo, $10.50. $10 in New York. Sydney's got them for $10. $9 in San Francisco, Vancouver, $5. You know what? Sounds like let's go to Vancouver, everybody. $57.
I'm looking
bucks.
At that, man. Just that photo of avocado toast on the top of that page, though. What is that, like goat cheese or feta cheese?
Yeah,
with
see,
that?
That's what they're doing. They're a little more artisanal. You're not getting just avocado smeared on there. They're putting other stuff in. That looks like feta or something. There's some, there's some like little spicy, whatever that is in there. Some kind of.
Sure. Looks like the Egg and I, which is a restaurant just down the road from me, has avocado toast. So I think I'm going to have to go there.
Yeah, I like the Egg and I, actually. It's a good place.
Yeah.
Except that's the one where the waitresses.
I took Corinne and Jason there when they came out.
It's where the waitresses are kind of rude for us here locally. I remember I told you that story. She was such a crank when we were there, that lady. I don't know if I told
that story. Yeah. That was at the Egg and I?
Yeah. They just seemed a little uppity for whatever reason. But maybe that's the perfect place to get avocado toast. I don't know.
Maybe it's something about her saltiness that improves the flavor of the avocado toast.
Here's the time involved. Mexico City will take you 9 years. Johannesburg, 11. Berlin, 19. San Francisco, 44 years in order to get that much toast consumed without killing yourself. Vancouver will take you 48 years. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I take this back. If you gave, it's not how much you're eating for so many years. It's
right.
If you gave up
that's
avocado
how much you
toast.
Give up.
Yeah.
How many years?
So if you gave it up completely, that's how long it would take. So 9 years to do it.
That's the only thing you gave up, too. I mean, basically, you'd go on with the rest of your life. Your $4 latte still would stay in there, but you'd give up the avocado toast. Then
So bottom line is, that guy's full of crap. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was talking out of his butt when he suggested any of this. Brian, your favorite town, Vegas, got some sweet news going on.
Oh, good. What's happening in my favorite city in the whole world?
Thieves have stolen 30,000 condoms from a Vegas warehouse.
What?
They're calling them the rubber robbers.
Oh, geez.
Rubber robbers.
Rubber robbers. This is Rubbergate.
A Sin City warehouse of Swedish sex toy company. Oh, no, what has happened to all of the condoms? How will we be having the safe
pork,
sex?
Pork.
Yeah, pork. they're the IKEA of sex toys. Anyway, over the Memorial Day weekend, not once, but twice, they got robbed. In the first theft on Friday night, the bandits broke in and stole boxes containing 30,000 condoms. Somehow, even in Vegas, that wasn't enough. On Saturday morning, thieves returned and rammed a vehicle through the delivery door. This time, they grabbed boxes containing $15,000 worth of sexual toy aids.
Wow.
Yep. And jeez. A good-natured blog post about the theft on its website, the company Lilo. Had only one question after the break-ins. What kind of party are these people having? What could or we could have done a sponsorship or something. In its post, Lilo also called the thieves the horniest criminals in the world history.
Oh, my God.
That's got to be expensive, though. Like,
yeah, I don't know. They don't give a price on the 30,000 condoms, but the sex toys were $15,000 worth.
Yeah, I wonder how much the... If you say a condom's 25 cents each, that's a fair thing, right? So
to produce, sure. I don't know about to buy unless you're buying the...
So 0.25...
bulk Costco box.
Times... 30,000, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is a total of... Oh, it's not that bad. $7,500.
Oh, it's not bad.
That's not too bad.
It's about half of the sex toy price.
I guess, whatever. I mean, it's 30,000 condoms, it's $7,000. It's still larceny, but still. I expected that to be like hundreds of thousands of dollars for some reason. Maybe they're extra fancy condoms. Maybe they were gold. I don't know.
Well, they probably Vegas. They probably say something like.
They were headed to.
What happens in this condom stays in this condom.
You know, honestly, Brian, that's the best kind of condom, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, it is. Yes, let's hope that's the the slogan for whatever condom that is.
It's the one requirement I have for that condom. there's a guy who sold 1,000. I don't know. There's no theme today. This is just how it worked out. But anyway, a guy sold 1,000 raccoon penises. Actually, the penis bones from raccoons. That's a bone. That's one of those animals with a bone there, you know?
Sure.
This is on his Kickstarter page. Hello, my name is Steve, and I want to be the guy that sold 1,000 raccoon penis bones. When I brought up the idea to family and friends, everybody told me there's no way I'd be able to sell 1,000 raccoon penis bones. Well, hopefully with your help, we'll show them. If we do this together, wherever I walk into a room or a party, I can announce myself by saying, I'm the guy that sold 1,000 raccoon penis bones.
Nice.
Then he says, raccoons have penis bones? They do, in fact. Most mammals do. The fact that humans don't have a baculum makes us kind of weird.
Stop baculum.
Here's an illustration of what a raccoon penis bone looks like after I put it in a plastic tube. Anyway, I could read this forever because it's great, but it really is
a Kickstarter. How's he doing on his, what's his, first of all, what's his goal? He's $19,000 is his goal, and he's only raised $550.
Yep, that's it. And he shows this bag. He's got a ton of these penis bones. I didn't think that this seems like a Kickstarter they wouldn't approve. I don't know why. This isn't a business. This isn't Kickstarting something. He's selling a bunch of crap he has. It's really weird.
Yeah.
He says, what if I don't?
He probably should have done this as an Indiegogo.
Yeah.
Well, I guess. Oh, look at that. He's got bags of penis bones.
Yeah. He's going to put them all in this little raccoon tube. If you do an early adopter, let's see, $10 or more gets you... one raccoon penis bone in a plastic tube. I kind of want to do this.
It would help him out. He's got a long way to go, although he did just create this.
Yesterday, right?
Yesterday. So June 30th is his cutoff date. $10. That's not bad. $10 to get a penis bone in a plastic tube.
Yeah, I'm used to paying a lot more for my raccoon penis bones than that. That's a pretty good price.
He's like the his outfit makes me think he's like the I can never remember that guy's name. The money guy who kind of looks like Bill Nye the Science Guy, but he's the financial.
Oh,
he looks like a cross between Andy Dick and Bill Nye the Science Guy, but he wears like
he looks like the Joe like the
dollar.
Yeah, like the Joker, or like the question, like the, who's the villain?
Riddler. The guy with the question marks.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever happened to that guy? Is he still doing stuff?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know he's got talent. All right, I bought a penis bone.
You did? Wow, yep. Quick.
I'll report back on the show. I'm not sure he's going to hit his goal,
Lesko, though. That's it. Yeah, thanks.
How's he going to hit his goal? There's no way.
He's got to sell
That's a lot of penis bones to sell.
Right. I mean, he's basically got to sell like 38,000. No. I'm doing the math way wrong. He's got to sell 1,900 penis bones.
He says he only has 1,000.
1,000.
So
right.
How's he going to do that?
His math is totally screwed up.
Yeah. He should have done a minimum of bones.
Oh, well, never mind. If you buy one of the first 100, it's $10. Then if you get after that, it's $20. That's how he's going to make it.
Oh, well, I'm not sure he's going to make it. He might. Yeah. I put in my 10. We'll see what happens. Let's see what his
Good
video.
Luck, Steve.
Let's see what his video says. Let's see if we can get a little audio. In the woods sometime last week, it says at the bottom. Okay. All right. He's got some sort of... Oh, my Lord.
I'm the guy that sold 1,000 raccoon penis bones. I'm the guy that sold 1,000 raccoon penis bones.
Okay, I kind of love him.
Clearly, he's just trying to capitalize on the success of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Clearly.
Brandy! All right, you're right. That's the wrong Brandy song I'm singing. All right. Well, that's it for that. Let's get past that. Let's go to this, which is a break. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to take your phone calls. Again, hop into the Discord, frogpants.com/Discord. Get into the room called Call Waiting. Show Call Wait. I forgot the name. I'll look
at it. Call now.
Shoot.
Oh, it's the waiting room or call.
Call Waiting. Oh, shit. It's called Call Waiting Room. I was right.
Call Waiting Room.
Call
yes.
Waiting Room, and that...
It's where Sam... It's where Al talks to the person that Sam has leapt into and...
Correct.
And explains what's going on.
All of this is correct that you say. And we'll pull you into some calls, and that's just where you wait. Make sure you're unmuted, and you feel free to talk amongst yourselves in there if you want. You can have a little community chat, whatever you want, but I'll pull you into
Trash
another
talk,
room.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? Why not indeed? So get ready for that, because we're going to do Call Now right after this. Before that, though... Brian has a song.
Well, what do you get when you cross Morocco and Canada, Scott?
A really bad road movie. No,
you do, but you also get a band called Beba, B-E-B-A or Beba, and basically what this is, it's two guys who met via the Nashville Songwriters Association via social media. One guy lives in Vancouver, Canada, Barry Muir. The other guy lives in El Hadida, Morocco. His name is Amine Masroor. Mm-hmm. These guys met via social media, and they are working together to record an album, or they worked together to record an album. And it's really, really good. The album is self-titled, B-E-B-A. This is a track from it. The song is called Bulletproof. Check them out at beba.bandcamp.com. It's excellent stuff.
All right, here it is. It's Bulletproof. We'll be right back.
Our pride that keeps on fooling us, saying we won't get caught. Someone tell me, why do the stars seem so close, yet the light years away? And it's funny how the broken heart still beats. I thought I was bulletproof, together, you and me, in the backseat of your Fiesta, sharing dreams, sharing fears, but it ain't working anymore. I'm just trying to buy some time while my heart lays shattered on the floor. I thought I was bulletproof, but the marks on my chest prove me wrong. Pauses my mind from thinking. please help me help you change your mind. What do I gotta do to make you stay? Please help me change your mind. I heard love goes around, but maybe come by again. I'll bow my head if it's what you want, but don't tell me we can still be friends. I thought I was bulletproof, but the marks on my chest prove me wrong. Yes, I'm not bulletproof. Oh no.
Sizzler brings the choices that you've been looking for, giving you the right to choose. We're offering much more.
Let's test the ship's phasers.
This is the morning stream. Is it over yet?
It is most definitely not over yet, although Brian is not at his station. Where did he go? He's not there, everybody. He has disappeared.
Hey. That was just, you know, your typical Freebird bathroom run.
Sometimes you have to go.
Jeez Louise.
Sometimes
you just have too much damn coffee in the morning.
Yeah, and you've got to go, and you can't, you just hope you're not in the middle of a Nerdtacular presentation. Other than that, it's fine. We can take all the breaks we need here. It's totally fine.
That's right.
All right. Well, welcome back. I really like that song.
Thanks.
I like the song. I like that it mentioned hanging out in your Fiesta or whatever that was. I think that was great.
Right, yeah.
That was really
perfect
good.
For a Ford Fiesta owner right
yep,
there.
That was pretty awesome. All right. Cool. Let's dive into what's next. What is cool. next? Yes.
It is a call now, but we also do have our Crispy Crunch, our last item from Stephanie in Canada.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's a good send off into your weight losing June.
I agree. So here we go.
I like to eat.
We're going to eat this. It's a Crispy Crunch from Cadbury. This is a Canadian only treat, I believe. I don't know that you can get these here.
No, I've never seen them, although I think just from the picture on the front, I'm going to guess that this is very much like Butterfinger. It looks like a Canadian.
Yeah. It does look
Butter,
like that.
Butterfinger.
In fact, I even smell Butterfinger on this.
So yeah.
Smell that. So to speak. Well, all right. We'll give it a shot and see if this is the Canadian Butterfinger or if we still have the better candy bar. I'm guessing this is better than anything we have, but here we go. Or it's totally Butterfinger.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different flavor, though.
Hmm.
Right? It's a little more earthy.
Yeah, totally. A little bit. Yeah, right. Right. Maybe a little more salt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. More salt.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good. I was really salty yesterday, so this is
like
good.
Like salted chocolate Butterfinger.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's all. I ate the tip. I want all of it. But, Brian, I got...
Ice worm.
Just the tip. Just the tip.
I know.
And that's all I'm going to eat because Nick can have the rest, and I'm committed today to my
good for you
dietary choices. But thank you. These are great.
Yeah, Stephanie, you rock. Thank you so much for all this stuff. And
you're the best.
I'll reward myself with another bite of chocolate anytime I go on a 6 or more mile bicycle ride.
Yeah, and we would have done those loaded chips, but they exploded everywhere in my box. They're all over the place.
They're not just loaded, they're exploded.
Yeah, they're exploded. All right, well done.
Mine are still in there. I'm going to enjoy those later.
Yeah, you should. You Should always try to enjoy those later. All right, we have this now.
Call now.
It's call now, everybody.
Call now.
That means you guys are awaiting us, hopefully, in the Discord channel there. If you guys want to talk to us, you can. I'm going to bring in Ninja Steve and see what's on his mind. Hi, Ninja Steve. How are you?
Oh, hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Ninja Steve, tell us. I know I see you in the chat room constantly. I know we've talked to you before, but remind us where you're from. Where are you from?
I'm from Huntsville, Alabama.
Oh, yeah. You get that weird governor with all his weird ideas. That's awesome. Welcome.
He's not governor anymore.
That's true. He's out. Who's in there now? Mm-hmm. Who got the job? Lieutenant governor or what?
Yeah, Kate Ivey.
Oh, okay. A lady. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
We like ladies. Ladies in government is a good thing. They run things better. Just ask my household. Yes. If without Kim, we'd be a big mess here, so I like that a lot. Anyway, what's on your mind Ninja Steve? What do you got on your mind?
Oh, not much. How about that new Wonder Woman?
Oh, yeah, see? Yeah. It's going to be good. Yeah. So I wonder how many people are going tonight at midnight. Probably a fair number.
Well, you don't even have to go at midnight anymore, because remember they do the... they do the 7 p.m. showings now on Thursday.
Oh, that's true.
So you don't even have to go late. You can go and see it tonight, you know, on the East Coast. That's like 6 hours from now. There's probably somebody in our listening audience who's going that quickly.
Let's do it. I'm going to click on...
Yeah, I'm already seeing people who have already gone.
Yeah, there's probably some early showings today. So I just did a quick search for Wonder Woman.
Jackalope is seeing it tonight.
Oh, good. We can report back and let us know what they think.
Yeah.
There's some... early chatter on Twitter. I'm just doing a quick search here just to see what the general, you know, the angry public thinks of it. And so far, I'm not seeing anything bad. People love it. Oh, they've banned, Wonder Woman has been banned in Lebanon. You cannot watch it there.
It's funny. Lebanon, they're banning it, but in Israel, they are celebrating it, obviously, because that's where Gal's from.
Yeah, that's their gal. In
Galja, Gal Jadot. Gal Jadot.
Gal Jodot. Everybody says, this guy says, Wonder Woman was incredible movie, guys. You need to see it. Mayor's response to angry man about woman only Wonder Woman screenings is tremendous. Oh yeah, that whole thing. Who cares about that? Wow. I am not giving no spotlight to those dudes who are all up in arms about women only screenings. F you guys. I don't want to talk to you.
We're seeing it in a little over a week with the Mayus.
Oh, the Mayus, eh?
Yes.
I like them. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I'm trying to find so far, all this is good. Everybody's freaking out. Oh, here's a cute little girl in a Wonder Woman's thing going to see the movie. She's all dressed up. Cool. I'm excited, you guys. Genuinely excited about this movie. So I'll report back on Monday, of course, after I've seen it. Probably see it this weekend. Well, it's good to have you here. Who do we have on here? Oh, Ninja Steve. I almost called you Bongo Chief for no reason.
That's close.
Yeah, almost Bongo Chief, which makes no sense. Have a good one. I'm moving you to a random room. Bye. All right. Now we'll take
him out of the room.
Let's take Thor 4231. Hello, Thor. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. How are you?
We're great. It's nice to have you on the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, not much. I did have a question for you. Some advice, maybe.
Okay.
This advice I'm hoping to get from you to give to me. I've got a client who likes to talk about politics, and he doesn't have the same views as I have, but I don't know a nice way to like avoid it. But over the years, it's got kind of old. So what's your suggestion?
Okay, so that's
a good question.
You guys have differing views, differing opinions, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. We have differing opinions.
Yeah. So
the work you're doing, the freelance work, has nothing to do with politics, right? So there's no
nothing at all. No, okay. I'm a software engineer.
He's bringing it up because he sees you as an ear.
Exactly. Well, you know what? When you do business with somebody like over 20 years, you have a relationship with them. But at this point, it's got kind of weird, and I don't want to amplify his view by being like a yes man. But at the same time, I don't want to piss him off by saying your views are crazy because you're being backed by news.
Yeah, exactly. That makes sense. So I would say we're both going to have ideas on this. I think my first thought would be I work with and know a lot of people with differing views. And some people I know have very different views than I do, or even some who did and don't now. They've come closer where I'm kind of at politically, which is closer to the center anyway. But I think that it's really important. Like, this is kind of a test for us to figure out ways to be able to have those conversations without destroying friendships, relationships, family relationships, or even business relationships. So I'm going to say something kind of controversial, which is the opposite of what people might think. Like, avoiding it, I don't think is the right idea. I think that being able to have those conversations and always have them with kind of a self-effacing attitude, or hey, we're going to lunch later, so let's make sure this is, you know, be jokey about it or whatever, so that you can have these conversations, get each other's points of view, and not let it eat you alive. Like, not let it get under your skin and bug you, because that's how grudges start, and that stuff never ends well. So I don't think holding it in or keeping it quiet is actually the answer. I think having constructive conversations, even if you disagree very much on a certain topic, just always bring it around to where you do have common ground, where you do have a friendship, or where you're even just a business relationship is mutually beneficial. Just always bring it back to that. And I think it's okay. I mean, not everyone's going to react
steer
well.
Steer into the skid of you know, something that you guys can agree on. I think it's good.
Yeah. Brian, any other advice?
Actually, I was going to start off with going the opposite direction and basically saying, you know, when he starts in that conversation, wait, before we get off the other topic, did you need that in 3-color or 4-color? Where are you having that done? You know, basically steering it back to work, and hopefully over time, it'll subconsciously be a, oh yeah, he's not somebody I talk to, talk about politics with. I talk with them about business and, but I think it's actually better Scott's decision about steering it towards some common ground. And
I think you can probably find a combo.
It is what we need to do these days, right? I mean, if we keep being divided as we all are, which is, you know, going to lead to another civil war or an uncivil war.
But also just keeping it in just makes it pop eventually. So you just gotta, you just gotta talk about it. And if the friendships are good ones, like I've got somebody who I am, could not be more opposite with as far as politics go. Could not be more diametrically opposed. But we both love video games. We both love, science fiction or whatever common grounds we have. And it's important, I think, for us to sometimes hash it out, even if it's a kind of loudly hashed out, if we're confident in that we've got this other part of our life. And if you don't have that with them, maybe seek that out first before the confrontations. And this is for other people, not so much you. I mean, yours is a business situation. But if you've got a friend where you're not sure what your common ground is, explore that common ground first, and then maybe you can start talking about stuff. But I don't know. Like, what I found, even so all of that being said, what I found is most people all kind of want the same things. Like, at the end of the day, you may have some ideologies, but your day-to-day practical wants and needs are the same. You want a good job. You want to pay the bills. You want to help raise your family well. You want to be have good relationship with your wife, your partner,
kids,
or whoever.
To grow up in a safe world.
Yeah, or if you don't have kids, you want to get further in your career, or you've got goals that are common no matter who you are. I don't care if you're somebody that's like, let's take the extremes, somebody who's like pro Trump and he can never do it, he could poop on his face and he'd still be happy with Trump, right? That guy versus somebody who hates everything about him and would go to such lengths to do anything to get him out of office. Let's say those are your two extremes. At the end of the day, though, those two people have kind of the same life goals. They just have strong ideologies that are opposed to each other, but at the end of the day, they both just need to, you know, they need to eat, they need to sleep, they need to go to work, they need to, you know, get stuff done. They're more closely aligned than they think they are, but they let their ideas seem like they're more important than where their alignments are. So I think you can find those alignments. You'll be fine.
It's good.
Oh, I'm fine. Just looking for ideas of what to do. I do thank you guys. Those are some good ideas.
Well, thanks, man. It's always good to talk to somebody we haven't talked to. Thor, take it easy. Have a great day, and thank you for being part of today's show. Let's take a call from, how about North Rendish? Hello, North Rendish.
North Rendish.
Yeah.
North Rend-ish.
North Rend-ish. Yeah, that's cool. So what is that, like in the water right before you get to North Rend, or what's that about?
Well, I actually used to listen to a podcast called Outlandish, and they made a joke that when North Rend came out as the expansion, they would rename the podcast to North Rend-ish.
Oh, nice. Okay, that's I'm going to guess that you're Canadian. Am I wrong?
No, yeah, I am.
All right.
How did you guess?
I heard a little bit of Canadian, but also the
north. Slightly?
The north part put it over the top, so it felt right.
King of the North!
Tell us what's on your mind, North Rendish. What can we do for you?
Okay, so it's not a really long story, but I used to work at Home Depot in retail. I used to talk to a lot of people, now I work as a custodian for a school board where I'm usually by myself working. Mm-hmm. And I find I listen to a lot of podcasts, and that's why I listen to you guys. I just need to listen to people talk.
Right.
And I'm by myself for the most part. Do you guys find that with your job not working at an actual business anymore, are you guys bored, depressed a little bit working at home all the time?
Well, this is such a good question. Ooh. This is great.
I wouldn't say bored or depressed. Occasionally I get lonely. You know, I mean,
feeling
my
caged
only,
up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Only coworker is this cat right here behind me. The only one I could talk to. So yeah, I definitely busy enough that I don't get bored. And I don't get depressed, but every once in a while I do just need to kind of get up in the middle of the day, go upstairs if Tina's working from home today, or go out and get lunch or something like that. You've got to still have some human interaction. But now when you're working on the school, you're alone there for 4 or 6 hours or however long.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah. Well, I think you just might need to bring an escort.
Ah, there you
go. I'm kidding.
Yeah. Here's what I would say. I actually think I know what you're talking about, this feeling of like, all right, here's an example. When TMS ends, I always feel some melancholy about that every day, because I just spent an hour and a half plus with Brian. We're good friends, cohorts, co-hosts, and we're having a blast and it's fun and we're talking the entire time. And then we get people like you on, or we have guests on, you know, Tom's here, we're talking to him, or Steven, or whatever. And so I'm having a form of that interaction. And the minute I shut all this down and it turns off, I look at my screen and go, okay, I have to export this, and now there are no people here. And I feel, it's weird. I feel alone when the show's over.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to explain. And sometimes you hang around later and talk in the chat or whatever, or you stream something later. But I know what you're saying. There is definitely that disconnect, and it throws me a little bit sometimes, for sure.
Do you, during the day when you're listening to the show, do you, oh, I guess you listen to the show on your iPod while you're working at the school, but do you,
iPod,
do you listen to other shows where you are in the chat room and getting that interaction, or is all of your podcast listening done?
Is all later.
No, it's just shifting. While I'm doing monotonous work, like I'll listen to you guys, listen to Jury.
Mm-hmm.
It's with Jury, especially, it's when he does his one-on-one podcast, it really feels like you're kind of conversing with him,
mm-hmm.
instead of just listening to two guys talk about whatever, which is fine. It's the same, you know.
Sure. But he's in a way, he is talking to you because his co-host is the audience on those shows, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. I'm wondering if you could pop into the IRC, either the IRC chat or the Diamond Club chat. Because there's always somebody there. Even if there's not a show going on, I have that thing up all the time. And every once in a while, I can just pop in there and say, hey, what's everybody doing? Or, mm-hmm. you know, respond to something that somebody's doing. The Slack is a good thing.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, you know, you can take a 5-minute break while you're working to have some, you're not having face-to-face interaction, but you are having some interaction with other people. Live.
Yeah.
Maybe the Slack is a way to go, or Discord, or the IRC chat.
Yeah, all that stuff helps. I would say the other thing I would say is, you know, this idea that Brian and I are talking now, and if you combine all the listening audience, not just people in the chat room, but if you count all the live listeners right now, mm-hmm. it's something like 1,000 people or something
mm-hmm.
total.
Mm-hmm.
Few hundred a couple hundred on the actual video stream, and then there are people on Alpha Geek Radio, and they're just, you know, people are listening to it however they're going to listen to it. I take comfort in that, but then I think about the 30 or 40,000 that will listen to this episode today after the fact, and they've all got their own thing. Like, maybe they're jogging, maybe they're working, maybe they're driving, maybe there's probably almost infinite, it's not infinite, but there's probably a million ways you could say that those people are listening to the show. And they're all getting a slightly different version of the experience. They may just feel like they're passively listening to two guys talk to, you know, people and do stupid stuff in the morning. Other people may feel a direct connection to this and feel, oh, I'm part mm-hmm. of this community or whatever. And there's a huge range in between. I would say that that's the nice thing about this community is it has a range of, you can just be a casual listener and barely have any interaction with the community if you want. Or you can go as far as meetups and hangouts and constant mm-hmm. online interaction and Twitter groups and Facebook groups, and, you know, you can have all of that. So my guess is that people, you and people like you, are going to find a niche somewhere in there. is my thinking. Northrendish, may you forever be Canadian and have as much fun as possible. We'll talk to you later.
Well done. And good luck to the jousting tournament.
Yes, indeed. I think it's going to do it for calls. Hey, I do have this, though. A couple emails. I think these are important.
Oh, cool. All right.
I'm going to read them. And they go like this. From, by the way, you can send your emails to themorningstream@gmail.com. We got Brock in Kalamazoo, which as a kid I thought was a fake place because Bugs Bunny talked
about
like
it. Sounds like it's a fake. Kalamazoo.
Yeah, I'll see. Right, but yeah. What were the things? It was Albuquerque, Kalamazoo,
and Walla Walla.
And Walla Walla, Washington. And I thought those were all fake places.
Yeah.
Didn't think they existed.
Chevy Chase, Maryland.
Yep, there you go. I lived on Chevy Chase growing up. It was a street called Chevy Chase Drive.
Oh, that's crazy.
It was weird. Wow. Yeah. I still to this day don't. Well, it's named after the racing thing, not Chevy Chase, but right. Yeah, still to me, that's what it was. Anyway, good morning in Scott and Brian, says this person, or just good morning, Scott and Brian, not good morning in Scott and Brian. If I ever won the lotto, I'd take the lump sum. This is about our lottery conversation.
Sure.
He says, I have a plan for it that should work out great. A 50-25-25 split. So a three-way split.
Oh, that's nice. And we don't need 25% each, but it's nice of you to think of
us. It's really nice of you to think of us. We appreciate that. Here's my address. Let us know. Anyway, 50% goes into savings accounts to collect interest and store. 25% goes to investing for when I'm older. And 25% goes to paying off all of my husband's debts and my debts. Their debts is what she means. Along with our immediate families, then the rest of that 25% can do whatever. If I have enough in that spot left over, I'll buy some land, build a house with a recording studio in the basement and a good workshop outside. Love the show, though. Brock from Kalamazoo. So Brock's suggesting just get that lump sum and then immediately do this three-way split. I guess Brock's a girl, right? Or it could be a gay couple. I don't know. Brock. Yeah. I just haven't heard Brock as a woman's name before.
A woman's name? Right. Yeah, I don't know.
But anyway, great idea. I like this a lot.
That is a really good way of thinking about it. I hope you win because you've got more forward planning on this than I would say 90% of the people who win the lotto.
Yeah, there's one
who like rip through it in like a month and then they're all depressed and miserable.
I'd say the third of the people talking on the show right now, her or him included. Brock has a better plan than Brian and I do. So
yeah, right.
Well done. Here's an email from Sensei.
Ah, Sensei.
Oh, Sensei, you send email. Yes. Says, hi, Scott and Brian. That light stroking/tickling you were talking about that you love and Kim hates. I talked about this yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is reversed for my fiance and I. Lucy, her name was with an I. Luci. That's cool. Mm-hmm. I like that name. Mm-hmm. He says he loves it and describes it as very soothing and calming, as you said, whereas I feel like 1,000 scurrying voles are upon my person. thing is, she doesn't know what she's doing until I suddenly start scratching wildly. So the other day, we sat on the sofa/couch eating curry and watching Big Ass Spider. Have you seen that? The Greg Grunberg deal?
I haven't. I've heard of it, and I'm wondering if it's too funny for us to do in the film sec, you know, because it seems like it's, I don't know, tongue-in-cheek. It's Sharknado with spiders, basically, right?
Maybe we treat it like Sharknado and do a live thing or something instead of a traditional one. I kind of agree with you, but anyway, he says, when true to form she starts absent-mindedly stroking my neck, I somehow managed to catch myself and told her, of all the times to do that, this is probably not the best unless she wants both of us to be covered in food as I freak out and spill our dinner all over the place. Feel free to share this on the show if you'd like. Keep doing what you're doing. Love the show, Sensei. All right. Yeah, Kim says, I read this to Kim this morning. She's like, this is me. That's it. Right there. He described it. That's exactly it. I'm like, this is a bummer. This is like the one incompatibility Kim and I have that I love so much is this. Light.
But it's not like it's something that requires two people. You know, I mean, she's happy to do it for you.
Yeah.
Because she knows that you enjoy it.
Yeah.
And she probably gets enjoyment from you enjoying it. Oh my God, this sounds like
it sounds bad.
Right? I should be doing this in my doctoral first time of voice.
It's okay.
She does enjoy doing it for you.
It's okay if you poop on the chest.
As long as you're both into it.
Yes, you both need to give and take. Find out what weird thing you want to have done to you afterwards.
How old Dr. Ruth is still with us, isn't she?
Yeah, she's like 1,000 now. Let's see. Dr. Ruth?
She's 1928. Wow, she's 88 years old.
Oh, that's not so bad. Let's see what she looks like recently. Dr. Ruth Westheimer. Oh, jawohl. In 2015, she looks great. Oh, look at her. She's still just this grinning little thing. Oh, look at her.
Yeah.
She's a cutie.
Let me tell you about the male penis.
There is not a photo of Ruth Westheimer where she's not smiling. There's no angry paparazzi Ruth Westheimer photos.
You're not wrong. Even the ones where she's straight-faced, it's because she's having a conversation or saying other words.
Right.
But she smiles at everything. What a big grinny mess. The only one where she doesn't smile is this one where she's a little kid. And what a cute little kid she was.
Right.
She's adorbs.
Oh, that's great. That's so cool.
Anyway, I like Ruth. I like Dr. Ruth. I always liked
her. Yeah.
How could you not like her? She was like a grandma that knew about doing it.
She was, exactly. Like, you'd go into a radio show thinking, ah, I'm going to hear some gross, perverted stuff. This is awesome. And you come out of it going, oh, I actually learned something, and that was kind of cool, and I want to listen to it again.
Yeah, she kind of brings it away from, I mean, when we were teenagers and she was kind of at her height, it felt like it was like this dirty thing.
At her height.
Get it? Yeah, 4'2" or whatever it was at the time.
Right.
Anyway, thanks for that, Sensei. We appreciate your emails. And you can send your emails to themorningstream@gmail.com. And we'll do call now again in the future. We love doing that once in a while. That worked out really well in Discord today. So
yeah,
let's keep that up.
We're on top of it. Well done with your microphone.
Well done. This show is streamed every day live at alkgeekradio.com as well as frogpants.tv. So if you are looking to watch the show live, like we talked about earlier, you certainly can. Every day, 10 a.m. Mountain Time. Today at 3:30 Mountain Time, there'll be a PM edition of the show. You're welcome to be here live for that as well. Frogpants.com/TMS has links to everything you need, including ways to support us. We have a fifth episode called the PM edition because you support us at patreon.com/TMS. Every little bit helps. And by the way, do not be shy. If you've been on one of the higher levels and you haven't been getting the stuff you thought you were supposed to be getting, sometimes addresses are weird or something gets lost in the mail. We always try to fix those as soon as we can, but we don't often know because you're afraid to tell us or something. And don't be afraid. Tell us. Let us know, and we'll get you all hooked up. Dave is on that stuff as soon as we know. So let us know.
And oh my God, I'm so excited about the cards that I'm going to pin Dave down until I get them in Nerdtacular.
That's right. Pin him on the floor. He can't get up.
Yeah. No. Does he care?
He doesn't. He doesn't. Nobody cares.
He doesn't care. Nobody cares. Who's going to care? Nobody cares.
That's going to do it. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Oh, find us on Twitter, Coverville, Scott Johnson, Morning Stream. Let's get out of here. Brian, do you have the wherewithal to play us a little music here?
I've got a song. I've got a song, Scott, going out to Michael. Sunday is an anniversary. He says, greetings, Sontaran and Blatherine.
Ooh.
1 year ago on June 4th, I was able to marry my best friend, Lois. Lois. On that day, we started. You just can't say Lois without doing the Peter Griffin voice. No, I can't anyway. Lois. On that day, we started a new life together that was brought together by our love of Doctor Who. We complement and make each other better, and I can't imagine my life without her. I leave the song choice in the very capable hands of the master of covers himself. I can't wait to spend the rest of my life with you, Lois. I love you so very much. I can see why we like it. Signed, Michael Haley, a.k.a. the Taffy guy.
I can definitely see why you like it.
There you go.
I hope Mike and Lois are going to be at Nerdtacular again. Obviously, that's where we met Mike and Lois before, and Mike always had Taffy to hand to us.
That's
so
true. We love those guys. Be there.
Yes. So he mentioned a few things that they really like. They like J.J. Geller's Where I Land. That's what they played when they walked down the aisle. I don't have any covers of that. They like Reliant K. We played a lot of Reliant K on the show, and I don't think I've got any covers that kind of would fit this. But he also says that they are both Muppets fans. And I have a song by the Muppets that I haven't played on the show yet. I can't believe it. Mm. And it seems to be a perfect way for Mike to express how he feels to Lois. This is something they recorded for the Muppets TV show last year. They did the ending music segment, and they had Jack White on as a guest, and he performed with the Electric Mayhem. So this combines your White Stripes and your Fuzzy Muppets all into one with a little bit of Stevie Wonder as the icing on the cake. Don't be fooled. This may not begin like the Stevie Wonder song, but it is. It is You Are the Sunshine of My Life. It's performed by Jack White and the Electric Mayhem.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
I'm sorry. I broke and did your toy.